You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 21st of May 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Once again, it's the end of another week and the weekend is almost here and you know what that means. It means that we have with us today Grandpa Dan from Texas. Grandpa, how are you doing today? How is Texas?
Well, it's been soggy. It's been soggy for like the past week. As for me myself, you know, I think I'm suffering from a clown world overdose. It's pretty similar. I think the symptoms are pretty similar to what a fentanyl overdose would look like, because I can't breathe. And I think our subject matter today isn't going to help the situation any.
Well, we haven't had any clown world subjects for a while. There's been a dearth of clown world subjects. And today we have two of them. So you might well have overdosed on them, as you say. And both of these news stories come from Sweden. The multicultural Swedish city of Malmö has spent an estimated 900,000 Swedish kronor, that's £76,000 or $108,000, on a 20-foot-high pink unicorn as part of a World Pride event set for August. The 20-foot-high and 33-foot-wide pink unicorn sculpture was unveiled in the public square in the heart of the city and is said to be a collaboration between Malmö's local government and Malmö's Pride organisation. Local Social Democrat official Andreas Schönström, chairman of the technical board of the city of Malmö, commented on the new sculpture in a press release, saying, "The unicorn becomes a spreader of joy in the city, both among children and adults. Even in its colourful shimmer, it also carries a serious message when it reminds us playfully of the equal value of all people." I mean, this is just unbelievable. The multicultural Swedish city of Malmö is full of Muslims. It's about 60% non-white. It has a lot of people there. It has a very large Muslim contingent. It has a lot of gang warfare that goes on. It has had terrorism that goes on there. There's been police stations that have been attacked. And Sweden continues to invite these people into their country. It tells them that they love multiculturalism. They want to promote Islam. And it puts them all in the city. And then it brings in a giant pink unicorn sculpture for them. It's like they are deliberately promoting the Muslims with this. And to say that this is for children, a celebration of homosexuality for children. Don't you actually have to engage in homosexual sex to be a homosexual? And don't you have to be an adult to do that? I mean, this has always been the most shocking thing to me about this promotion of homosexuality, is this idea that you can actually have homosexual children. If you have a homosexual child, doesn't that say that that child must have been abused, because they have to be an adult before they can actually have sex? So the two things here that really just jar with the brain. Number one, the city is full of Muslims, so why are they bringing in a pink unicorn? And number two, why are they aiming this at children? What do you make of this, Grandpa?
Well, I think we know why they're aiming this at children. I should have knew when we were going to have a clown world topic, we could always count on Sweden to come through and provide us some great material. I like how they point out that it's a multicultural city, and obviously multiculturalism means everything is better. But I'm not sure this really. I mean, who equates this with better? Yeah, I guess they're getting all ramped up for Pride Month. I was kind of curious how you plan to celebrate the Pride. They use this term Pride, and it's like, proud of what? You know, I mean, it's these, what are they celebrating essentially, you know, man on man, hairy butt sex. It's everything is this whole inverse thing. And now they bring out this, you've got your city and they've imported all these people and they have all of this violence. And their answer to it is, we're going to parade out a pink unicorn. I keep wanting to say unicorn, you know, to promote the homo agenda. And I don't know. I mean, would you feel bad if the Muslims got outraged and did that Allah Akbar and like torched their unicorn? Because I would have a hard time. I'd have a hard time feeling bad about it. It's just amazing how you look at a country like this and really the entire West. I mean, Sweden is always kind of just far out there. But I mean, let's be honest, it's the whole West is on the same trajectory. And you look at this and this is like a people that's gone completely batty. They're not serious. And yet it remains a serious world. And they're running around navel gazing, they're running around, you know, parading a unicorn, which is something, you know, they talk about, oh, the unicorn is this, but it doesn't exist. It's a fantasy creature. And I think that's somehow symbolic of the West itself. They're chasing around these weird fantasies, these weird make-believe creatures, this weird make-believe world, while they're at the cusp of being completely engulfed with the real world and at some point getting a good dose of harsh reality.
You have to wonder how the unicorn feels being associated with homosexuals, probably rather like God feels with the rainbow being associated with homosexuals. Well, Schoenstrom added, it will also be exciting to see what names the children give the unicorn when images of it are disseminated in different contexts. And, you know, I can just think of some of the names that the Muslims are going to come up with for the unicorn. This does seem as if it's just been deliberately done to upset them, to be honest. I mean, I may be wrong here, but don't the Muslims have a tradition of throwing homosexuals off the roofs of buildings? And then you got Sweden is just putting this pink unicorn slap bang in the middle of this huge settlement of Muslims. Anna Tenfelt, project manager for World Pride in Malmo, praised the new sculpture, saying, there's something magical about unicorns. They symbolize how there is strength in breaking norms and being different. Again, how is this any different to anywhere else? We're seeing this promoted everywhere. It's not different anymore, is it? It's being promoted in all the multinational corporations. It's being promoted by all the politicians. And you pointed out there, Grandpa, that it's this Pride Month, and it's sooner or later it's going to be Pride Year. I think it started out just by just being called Gay Pride. And it just happened to be a march in whatever was the city in whatever country it was that had the most homosexuals in it. And then that spread to being in every city, and then it spread to being an entire month, and then it spread to schools and having children actually having gay pride parades in their schools. And you have to wonder how those children feel when they finally learn what it is that they've actually been celebrating. They're probably absolutely scandalized by it and shocked and terrified at hearing what actually goes on and thinking that that's what they were actually celebrating. You can just imagine them growing up and seeing pictures of themselves waving a rainbow flag at 5 or 6 years old and being absolutely furious. I've seen the looks on some of these children's faces, and they just look so confused at what is going on, at what they're being taught to celebrate here. And of course, they tell us that the motive behind it is they want to stop violence against homosexuals. So they want people to see what homosexuals get up to, because they think then that people will just think that it's normal and they won't be against it and they won't hurt the homosexuals. But I think there's got to be far better ways of preventing violence against homosexuals rather than scandalizing children and encouraging children to engage in whatever it is the homosexuals do. Because most homosexuals are homosexual because they've been abused while they're children. And it seems to me that what they've actually done here is they've legalized and encouraged the results of child abuse. Rather than trying to put a stop to child abuse, they've said, well, what we will do is we will promote the results of it and we will normalize the results of it. And I'm not saying that every homosexual is a child abuser here, but a large proportion of them will tell you that they were abused when they were children. And the result of that is that they end up becoming homosexual, and they become sexually attracted to young boys if they are homosexual. And of course, this puts children at risk, and it puts them even more at risk when you're telling them that it's a wonderful thing, and you're putting up unicorns there, which is a children's mythical creature. It's just shocking the way that the world is today with the promotion of this stuff, but particularly to children, and to say that there's something magical about this. I mean, they're really promoting this, aren't they? They're saying there's something magical about unicorns. They symbolize strength, and they're different. And, you know, you just think, well, I feel very, very sorry for the parents of any children that end up getting abused because they went to go and have a look at the unicorn, and there was some kind of pervert there. I mean, I hate to, you know, bring up these disgusting subjects when we're trying to be lighthearted here, Grandpa, but, you know, you just know that the end result of this is going to be abused children. What do you make of what they have to say about it here?
Can anybody look at or listen to us discuss a story such as this and doubt that? I mean, they're openly, the slippery slope is here. I mean, they're openly going for pedophilia with this. I mean, that's, you know, it's not even like, oh, this is where they're eventually, I mean, we are in the stage now. I mean, they're not promoting something like a child's character, a fanciful creature that children would be interested, because adults aren't interested in unicorns. I mean, that's a silly thing. It's like, you know, well, I don't know. I guess if you know, like these guys that are into My Little Pony or something. But I mean, for the most part, this is something that's only going to be interesting or attractive to children. So they're openly promoting, as you've pointed out, Sven. I mean, it is a sexual method. I mean, homosexuality in itself is an identity based on sex, on some sort of, you know, what kind of sexual activity you're taking in. So you're promoting it to children. So you're promoting sex to children. This is obviously aimed at children. They're not going to parade this around the Muslim neighborhood. They're going to parade it around white neighborhoods, and they're going to promote this to white children. I mean, because, I mean, you're not, who are you going to promote this unicorn to? I mean, you're going to promote it to adult homosexuals, because they're not going to have any interest in it. They're already there. So they're promoting it. They're encouraging it. Well, they're not going to encourage it and promote it to people that are already partaking in it. That doesn't make any sense. So they're basically using this to try to incorporate, try to recruit new people into this lifestyle. And it's obvious from what they're using here, they're promoting it with children. Well, as you've already pointed out, it requires sexualizing children. I mean, how does anybody look at a story like this and not understand that this is where they're at? That you can go ahead and officially add the P to the elemental P, LGBT, whatever the hell alphabet they're using now, because it changes by the day. This is an open promotion that they're, you know, open. They're openly now promoting this. They're going, they are in the transition stage of promoting this children, of pedophilia, promoting this sort of activity. And it's only going to be promoted to the white people. They're not stupid enough. They're not going to sit there and do a rainbow homosexual, pro homosexual parade through the Muslim neighborhoods. They're not going to do that, because that will just screw up the narrative. This will be promoted to white children. As you said, you've got all these people that drag their poor little kids to this stuff. Half the time, the kids don't even know what they're promoting, but the adults do. So that responsibility falls on the adults, and oftentimes probably going to be stupid single mothers that are going to do this sort of thing and expose their children to such degeneracy. You know, and it's the children who will pay the price. It's amazing to me how cheaply people will sell their kids out. I mean, you've got these, again, most of the time single mothers, but not always. And they will essentially sell their children's future happiness. They'll sell them out for nothing more than virtue signaling points on social media. It's absolutely disgusting. And that's, you know, and this is where we're at now. This is where the Western world is at.
It's satanic, isn't it? I mean, if you would have said 10 years ago that unicorns will be satanic, you would have just laughed and said, you know, well, how can they make unicorns satanic? But of course, they can associate it with homosexualism, and unicorns are aimed at children. So it is basically sexualizing children, encouraging them to become sexualized. Well, Andreas Skoenstrom defended the 900,000 Swedish krona cost of the sculpture, saying that it was worth the price and will be displayed around the city after the World Pride event in August. I mean, what is he expecting to get for that price? What is he expecting to get? I mean, that is suspicious in itself, isn't it? That he thinks this is going to be worth the price, parading this around, which is basically just to appeal to children. The move comes after the St. Pauli Church in the city unveiled a pro-LGBT painting at the church's altar in December 2019. Featuring same-sex couples and transgender characters in a scene from the Garden of Eden featured in the Book of Genesis. And we've talked about this before, a while back, obviously, in 2019, we did an episode on this painting. Just weeks later, complaints emerged over the painting, not from conservative Swedish Christians, but from leftist progressives who claimed the painting reflected badly on transgender people, as they were depicted in a way that could be interpreted as associating them with the snake of the Garden of Eden. And that was what they were complaining about, because the transgender was actually the serpent from the garden. And what they were actually featuring there was a homosexual orgy that they actually had behind the altar. You had, because obviously Adam and Eve, they were naked, and God clothed them after they ate the forbidden fruit, as it were. And what this picture was depicting was males there and a transgender. They were depicting a homosexual orgy that was behind the church there. So this isn't something new that we see happening in Sweden. And we see that it is linked with being anti-Christian and subverting the Christian church. And as you pointed out, Grandpa, I doubt very much whether this unicorn is going to be paraded around the mosques. But do you recall that podcast we did a while back about this particular painting, Grandpa? You got anything you'd like to add to what I just said about it?
Yeah, I do remember that. What I find really, they use the term conservative Swedish Christians. No, not conservative, actual just Christians. Because, I remember when we did that show, they're not promoting these quote-unquote churches at promoting anything Christian. It's just promoting the same narrative that the government, same narrative that the world is promoting. I just find it amazing that the only people that raised any stink about this painting was this leftist basically view that it's just somehow reflected badly on trans people. Apparently the so-called Christians, they just sat silent. And that's the problem. That's where all the shit comes from, is because the Christian community, the real people, they're so beat down now. They don't want to get called names. So they all just sit there and quietly take it. They keep quietly sitting there hoping they won't raise a stink. They won't complain. They just keep their head down and say nothing. And it really does. You know, at this point, if you're going to sit there, if they bring in a homosexual orgy picture into your church and you're going to sit there and be quiet for that, you're going to be quiet for anything. You're going to be quiet when they teach the homosexual agenda to your 4-year-old. You're going to be quiet when they bring the homosexual unicorn in. You're going to be quiet when they have drag queen story hour and have your kid roll around with some guy in women's clothes. You're going to be quiet for everything, because at some point in time, you got to speak up. Some point in time, you got to say, you know what? I don't give a shit if they fire me from my job. You know what? I don't care if they raise up the woke mob and I get banned from Twitter. At some point in time, people got to stand up and say something. When they bring this crap into your church and you're supposed to believe, and I've said this, I don't know if it was last week or here on a recent show, I said this, I don't even remember what we were talking about, Sven, but I said, one thing I give to the Muslims is they actually believe in their religion. And this is the problem. People don't believe in Christianity anymore. They go to church. They belong to the Swedish church here, but they don't actually believe any of this shit, because if they did, they would get upset and they would say something. They wouldn't sit there and say, well, I can't say anything because I might get banned from Facebook. They would actually say something. The Muslims would say something. Of course, they're not going to bring this to the mosque because they know what would happen. And you have to admire them for that. They're going to say something for sure. They're probably going to do more than just say something. And yet the Christian people sit here. They sit on their hands. They keep their lips shut. They don't want to be a bad person. They don't want to be condemned to the world. And Jesus Christ himself said, look, you know, you're going to be an enemy of the world. If you are actually going to really follow me, you're going to be an enemy of the world. These things they've done to me, they're going to do these things to you. Well, what did they do to Jesus? They persecuted him. They falsely accused him. They trumped up charges on him. They ultimately executed him. And where's the Christian community today? They're sitting there quiet, not saying a word, while they drum this stuff to their children. And they sit there quiet because, well, people might dislike me. I might get my social media account banned. I just better stay quiet. I don't want them to know. I don't want to be accused of being a bad thinker. If nothing else from all of this, God is doing a great sifting. He is sifting these people out. It makes so much sense when Jesus said there's going to be all these people at the day that says, wait, let us in. And I say, I know you not. You have all these people say, but I went to church, but I went to the Swedish church, and you sat there and said nothing as they mocked you, ridiculed you. No, I know you're not. Why? Because you sided with the world. It's all very disgusting. I'm sorry to get on a bit of a rant about it, but it just, at some point in time, I mean, when is enough enough? You know, I mean, you don't have to go full Allah Akbar. You don't have to go like do a terrorism, but just say something. Good night. Speak up. Say something. Say, no, I'm not going along with this. But all too many so-called Christian people sit on their hands, keep their lips quiet, and don't say a word.
Well, to give the Swedes the benefit of the doubt here, I mean, they may not know that much about traditional Christianity. I have noticed a bit that the Swedes don't seem to really know that much about it or quite what traditional Christianity actually stands for. And it may be that they've always had a bit of a weak church there. They certainly do have today, though, as we learn in our next news story here. The Church of Sweden has claimed that it is a trans church. In a letter addressed to transgender people and signed by nearly 1,000 clergy members and others affiliated with the church, the Church of Sweden published its personal letter to trans people on its website on Tuesday, authored by four priests and a theologian. The authors state that the Church of Sweden is made up of many individuals, some of whom are transgender, saying the church is also made up of transgender people, therefore the church could be described as trans. The authors particularly single out trans-exclusive feminism, stating, "We mourn the part of feminism that has fought for its rights and now wants to limit yours. We see that trans-exclusive feminism uses a rhetoric that we recognise from radical right-wing Christian groups and right-wing populists," the authors state. So the Church of Sweden identifies more with feminists, extreme radical feminists, than it does with other Christians. That's what they're saying here. They associate themselves more with feminist rhetoric than they do with so-called radical right-wing Christian groups. And to say that the church is trans because there are trans people in it, I mean, you might as well say, well, the church is a murderer because you've got reformed murderers that go to church. Or you might as well say the church is a drug addict because there might be some drug addicts that go to the church. I mean, their logic here is lacking. They're quite clearly just trying to jump on the trans bandwagon here. And to say that they are trans, they're really just trying to go one further than the Church of England, I think, which is also sort of heading in this direction. We also have the Episcopalians, I believe they are, in America. They support homosexualism. And of course, all of this stuff is outlawed in the Bible. And yet what we have here is we have people that are claiming to be Christians, claiming to be the church, but what they're actually preaching is the opposite of what it says in the Bible. I mean, this just goes with the pink unicorn of Malmo, doesn't it? The Swedish church announcing that they are trans. What do you make of the new trans church in Sweden, Grandpa?
Well, what they're calling radical right-wing Christian groups means, you know, actual Christian people. it's silly. It's silly and stupid. How does a church be quote unquote trans? I mean, it doesn't even make any sense. At the one point they talk about, oh, well, we have these individual members that are this way. So that's, the church body isn't a single thing in the sense that like it can dress up in women's clothes and parade around. This is just, it doesn't make any sense because this is just a huge virtue signal. It's just a huge virtue signal. Look, there's nothing, absolutely nothing here. I mean, the church, we know the church is supposed to be in constant conflict with the world. Doesn't mean like you go around looking for things to be offended about. You don't have to because they're in your face. But if you're a Christian believer, you're going to find yourself in constant conflict with the narrative of the world because the narrative of the world is always going to be based on a lie because of what Satan is doing here right now. And yet this church is just promoting the same things of the world, literally. They're virtue signaling to the world. They're not going to get their Facebook page banned for this. Why? Well, because they're promoting the exact same thing that's obviously part of the agenda. And then you see this here where they run into a conflict with feminism because there's some feminists that are like, well, now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, this trans thing, feminism is supposed to be about women, but now you're saying these men can be women and you got these men coming in here. You know, they've probably looked at the whole thing where you have these, like, basically guys that look like regular guys that are like, I'm transgender, so I'm signing up for the women's sports league. And they're like, oh, no, this is going in a bad direction. And yet, see, they get run in conflict with this ever more stifling narrative, this narrower, smaller and smaller box. And I think I'm going to do a whole thing on this on my next show. I'm thinking about it, about the size of the morality box of this woke cult, which is what it is. But no, they're sitting here now promoting the agenda of the world. So they are of the world. They're not a church in any way, shape, or the form. And I think if I recall right, when we did that story on the painting, there was a segment in that story where they talked about the membership of this church has declined significantly. Well, why wouldn't it? I mean, what are you going to get there new that you can't get on social media? It's just the same thing being promoted everywhere else.
I think they're actively trying to destroy the church with announcements like this. Well, so-called trans exclusionary radical feminists, or TERFs, have been some of the most vocal critics of transgender ideology in recent years, and many are accused of transphobia by transgender activists. The TERF term was even applied to Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling last year, after activists claimed that the liberal feminist had made comments that they deemed transphobic, such as saying that biological sex is real. A number of lesbian feminists in France say they have also been accused of transphobia, not for comments they have made, but for not being sexually attracted to trans women who were born male. Published last month, 11 women signed a letter denouncing sexual assaults from transgender activists and attacks from far-left Antifa extremists due to their views. I mean, that's incredible. They're being accused of being TERFs, trans-exclusionary radical feminists, because they're lesbians and they don't want to sleep with men that are wearing a dress. I mean, it's quite hilarious when you think about it, the way that the left is eating itself over this. It really is fracturing into those that think that it's perfectly fine to have a bloke wearing a dress and allow them to take part in sports, and those who are saying, well, hang on a minute, actually I'm a lesbian and I'm not actually attracted to penises, and I don't care if you're wearing a dress and you're wearing makeup, I'm just not interested. It's, sooner or later, we're going to see court cases against people refusing to sleep with trans. I can recall there was an advert, a propaganda advert that was put out a while back that was saying that you were some kind of transphobic, horrible person if you didn't actually want to date one of these poor individuals. And it's like they're forcing you to say that they're women when you can see that they are not women. They don't have the bodily frame of a woman. Men and women are very different. We have different hands, we have different feet, we have different bone sizes, we have different ways that we think. And just tying your penis back behind you or having it cut off does not turn you into a woman. I mean, that is so insulting to women to claim that these trans women are. I mean, that they should just identify themselves as being trans people. They shouldn't be trying to force everybody else to go along with their fantasy. And I'm not trying to knock these trans people here. I have a lot of sympathy for people that are confused in their body. I mean, it must be absolutely horrible for them. But they should understand that that doesn't give them the right to make life absolutely horrible for everybody else. What do you make of what's been going on with these TERFs and happening in France, Grandpa?
Well, this is where we're at. I mean, making a statement that biological sex is real is now considered controversial. This is how far embedded the lie has become in this society. I mean, it's there's all these contradictions because everything is based on a lie. Now, if you say that, you know, biological sex is real, which is just something you can prove with science, these same people will sit here promoting, you know, say the coronavirus thing. They'll say, oh, well, you've got to follow the science. Well, the science says that biological sex is real. And, you know, but then they dismiss science. Then they don't list science because it doesn't fit into their worldview. It's all nonsensical. It's all contradictory because it's all based on lies. And we have to remember on this trans thing, too, that like so much stuff, say, like we've been talking about the homosexual agenda, you know, the narrative purposely promotes the most radical elements of that. You know, I mean, homosexuals that aren't politically active and are just doing, you know, their weird homosexual stuff. I mean, they're not going to be promoted to the forefront. This is all about promoting and destroying an agenda, rather, that destroys the society. I was sitting here thinking there's a writer, you know, of course, where you read news sites like RT, because the Western media doesn't give any information. And there's a writer over on RT that's a trans, quote, you know, a trans person, I think from the UK. And I mean, that person, you know, actually says common sense stuff. Like, I think that person says stuff like, well, yeah, obviously biological sex is real, even though that person is trans. So, I mean, they're purposely promoting the most radical elements of this stuff because it's a society. It's about destroying the norm. We talked earlier about destroying the church. It's about destroying the society, the cohesion, the fabric of society itself. So they're going to purposely promote the most radical elements of whatever tool they decide to use. And the trans people are the current tool. They use blacks, they use the Muslims, they use all these things. And if you look for some kind of common thread, because it looks in its face like, well, you know, how does this make any sense? We were talking earlier, they're promoting the unicorn and the homosexual agenda, but they have all these Muslims here who are, you know, staunchly against that. How does that make any sense? Well, because if viewed in the larger context, it's all about destroying the fabric of society in general and destroying the fabric of white society in particular. That's what it's about. The Muslims, the trans people, the homosexual, it's all about using these people as a tool. These people could be thrown, you looked at this story here, the feminists now, parts of the feminists are being thrown under the bus. When the feminists are useful as a tool to destroy the fabric of society, they're promoted nonstop. They're the good people. But when it becomes beneficial to throw them under the bus, because we have another tool now to take it to the next step, we've taken the feminism tool and used it as far as we can. Now we've got a more radical tool we can use, so we can throw them under the bus. They don't, I guess the point I'm saying is, they don't care anything about these groups, these people that they promote. They don't care. They're just a tool. And if it's handy for them to discard them and throw them under the bus at that time, they will do that without a second thought.
That's because it's all about weakening your competitors. And by promoting trans and by promoting homosexualism and by us accepting it, it weakens us. It weakens the bonds throughout society. And whatever weakens us strengthens our competitors. Well, the Church of Sweden states that you, me, we all need a broad feminism of solidarity that fights narrow gender norms. We believe in a church and a God that welcomes people beyond power, national boundaries, ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender and gender identity. Humanity in all colours of the rainbow, absolutely amazing and infinite in its diversity. The authors said, well, God created the national boundaries. God created ethnicity. God created sexual orientation, gender, and gender identity. So who are they to say that they know better than God and that they can change it? Well, the ultra-liberal Swedish church is well known for its embrace of progressive causes, with some of the clergy showing a fondness for Islam as well. Archbishop Eva Brune, for example, claimed to have more in common with Muslims than with right-wing Christians. And she's obviously said that because she hates the church and she hates right-wing Christians. She's got nothing in common with Muslims promoting transgenderism and saying that the church is transgender and going along with these gay unicorns. That's got nothing in common with Islam at all. She's only said that she's got more in common with Muslims because quite clearly she's got a grudge against the church. And this is the Archbishop. So I think when you pointed out that we really can't expect the Church of Sweden to be growing because of this, I think you're right there, Grandpa. We just have to really have sympathy for the Swedes because they're not really going to understand what Christianity actually really is when they have a church like this and they have an Archbishop like this. What are your final thoughts on the news stories today, Grandpa?
Well, I mean, we're just seeing the continual decline of these countries in the West. And they keep telling us, you know, and people keep wanting to believe this lie. All of this is going to make us better. You know, all of this multiculturalism, all this promoting these weird agendas is somehow supposed to make our societies better, but they're not getting better. The societies are coming apart. They're unraveling. I mean, can anybody look at how stable our societies were 30, 40, 50 years ago? And look at our societies today. I mean, just simple logical thinking. You can't compare the two. If you look back 30, 40, 50 years ago and look at our societies now, since all of this has been promoted, are our societies more stable now? Are societies, are people more tolerant now? I mean, they try to act like, oh, this is promoting tolerance, but it doesn't. It's making people hate each other more. I would argue that our societies were much more tolerant back then because people had much more of a, you know, man, mind your own business and live your life, because you had a stable society. The society is coming apart and people hate each other more now than they ever have. Because once again, it's a lie. It's a lie that this makes society better. It makes people more tolerant. It does the opposite effect. Logically looking at it, society is observably worse than it's ever been. So at what point do people say, well, you know, what you're doing is making things worse. We need to stop doing that. But they don't. They remain silent and the society continues to unravel around them.
I think you're making a really good point there, Grandpa. They're not increasing tolerance, and we were far more tolerant years ago. Now what they're doing is everybody is looking out for something that they can pick on what somebody else is saying. They're all looking to virtue signal, whereas years ago, we all tried to accept that everybody else might have a different point of view. Whereas nowadays, you're going to be called a bigot for saying that other people should be allowed to have their point of view and people should be allowed to hear what they want to hear. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.